church, junior church. Now, there's something that happens in the life of every child, whether they be a human child, whether they be a child of God. It poses a question. How are you growing in Jesus Christ? How are you growing in Jesus Christ? And as the scripture, it's going to be in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews. Chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews. Paul, who wrote the book of Hebrews, writes, beginning at verse 12, For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need of one that teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For every one that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, and even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The term born again refers to when a soul of a person is given new life by the Holy Spirit of God in the process of being saved. A person knows that he or she has committed many sins, and that those sins have caused their soul to die spiritually. We're told very clearly in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. We are each responsible for only our own deeds and sin. We are not responsible for the sins of anyone else. The only sins that God is going to hold you responsible for is your sin. And if you don't sin, if you live righteously, God will give you credit for that. Many times, people get saved and they are not discipled. They are not taught what the Bible tells us about the various aspects of Christian living. A Christian life is not a complicated thing because we have a guide. That guide is the Holy Ghost. He will guide us through this life, and God will put before us opportunities for service, opportunities for witnessing. God is going to give you, every one of you, opportunities to serve him. And we are not responsible for the sins of our children or the sins of our parents. We don't have to be. We have enough sin in our own lives, in our own hearts. Unfortunately, many adults become Christians without becoming adults in Christ. Now, you have seen it. You have seen it in your life. And what the church is all about is what is relevant. Relevant to you, not to me, relevant to you. I had a sister, a little sister. She was born very late in my mother's life, many years after. I was 16 when she was born. And she never grew up. She was always my little sister. She was always immature in her activities and her actions. And she just never grew up. There are people who claim Jesus Christ who are the same. They never grow up. They never mature in Jesus Christ. And they hurt the name. Either they never learn about what a mature walk in Christ involves, or they never learn to practice what God has told us in the Bible. And I would like for us this morning to consider what it means to be a Christian. You can be genuinely saved right this moment, and I trust that everyone is, and still be a baby in Christ if you are not practicing what God has said in His Word. One of the reasons that people attend church is to learn about God and what He expects from His children. God, though He is omniscient, does have expectations for each one of us. He doesn't force any one of us to learn or attend church to learn about growing up. No, He gives almost everyone free will to make choices about those kinds of things. There are many saved people who have not fully matured in Christ. That's why we meet 3 times a week. There are people both born into this world and this life that seemingly have some kind of mental limitation that requires special care for them for all of their life. God made them that way because He is God, and He had a purpose for that person that most of us don't understand. I'm not talking about the kind of person, although I've been privileged to watch a couple of such grow up and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and live lives based on what is written in God's Word. They've been exemplary Christians, even though they may be limited in some way. Now, I'm addressing this message from God's Word to those who consider themselves normal human beings. You have to think about that. Is that what you are this morning? When I was first saved, on the night that I got saved, God gave me an understanding of what He wanted me to do with my life. I have to confess, that's not what I originally did. I didn't start in that direction. I had my own ideas of what I wanted and to do with my life and how I wanted to go about it, and it didn't match God's plan. But God always gets His plan executed, and He ultimately did in my life. I was saved and sent to a Christian university to be educated, but I was still a baby in Christ. I was still a baby in Christ, although I tried to act like an adult. I was still really a baby. Now, in spite of my desires, God worked in me to bring me to the place that He could do the teaching, the molding that He wanted in my life. Oh, I fought His will, but that just meant that He would have to be a little more intense in His teaching, so the lesson would make more of an impact on my total being. I learned some very intense lessons. And God put some unique people in my life to show me the truth of his way versus the world's way. Maybe he has done the same thing for you. Paul, in his writings to the Corinthian church, told them the same thing that we are starting this message with in Hebrews 5. Let's look at what Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 7. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. We need to be sure that we understand what Paul is saying here. It is not the messenger that is important. They are just part of God's plan for you. It is the plan that matters, and what you choose to do with it, to obey God and go his way, or to disregard what God wants and do the things that you want. The two are usually not compatible. After all, God told us in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." As you go through this life, God gives you experiences that can change or mold you into what he wants you to be. But you can fight God. You can do what you want to do rather than what God wants for you to do. And the consequences can be horrendous. There are things that any one of us can do that will change how the rest of our life can be lived. We may do something that would alter our lives in a way that and place where our life could be lived. A person could drive distracted and end up taking someone else's life and spend a long time in prison. Every moment that each of us live is either under God's control or under our own control. Every moment is either under God's control or our own control. Bobby had two verses this morning in Sunday school that you really missed a good lesson if you missed Sunday school this morning. Help mature us. We need to place our lives under the control of God for safety. We are told in the Word, in Proverbs 21:31, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." Many times, the Lord gives us safety even though we don't ask for it. It's part of his grace that he so generously pours out into our lives. There's another verse in Proverbs that deals with how the Lord takes care of us. In Proverbs 11, 14. Proverbs 11, 14 says, where no counsel is, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. God puts people in each of our paths that can provide timely counsel and thereby give each one of us safety. That's part of our ministry here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church. We try to provide safety in the Lord with our teachings and our counsel. Now, we are looking at God's part of training babies to be mature adults and servants of God. I don't believe that God made anyone be a useless person. I do not believe that God made anyone to be a useless person. Everyone has a purpose under the authority of God's will. Even a garbage collector needs training in order to hone his skills. I don't consider any of us or any of you as garbage collectors, but I do know that we all need God's training all the time. None of us can afford to miss the training that God has for us. We need to learn about the things that God and about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to put these things into practice among other Christians that are learning to be mature. There is a cliche: no man is an island, and none of you are islands. That's telling us that we cannot get along without each other. I need you, you need me. We need each other. We need each other to interact so that we can learn to obey God's will. If there was no one to talk about Jesus, what would we do? We would have no God-given purpose or devotion for our lives. There's more than one reason that God saved you. First of all, God wanted to use you to tell others about the Lord Jesus and what he has done for you. Secondly, God wants you and your fellowship with him. That would involve worship and love and praising him before others so they might want to know him as their Savior too. Your life has a purpose that involves God. Your life has a purpose that involves God. To ignore God's purpose for you is actually to sin against God. And thirdly, God has made a place in heaven for all of mankind, but there are many who have not taken advantage of his provision. If I were to offer you a $100 bill and you refused to take it, of what benefit would that $100 bill be to you? Now think about that. If I offered you a $100 bill and you said, no, I can't take that, of what benefit would that be to you? It would be available, and it would be yours if you reached out your hand and took it. But if you don't take it, it means nothing. Its worth is null and void. And it's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has offered Jesus Christ to the entire world. And they say, oh no, I don't need him. I don't want him. And they never take him. Salvation's the same way. If you refuse to accept it, when the Holy Spirit convicts you and offers to save you, then God's salvation will be of no value to the individual who refuses. You can make all the vows that you want, but you and I cannot make the changes necessary to implement it without God's Holy Spirit. How do you pay for your sins? Doing good deeds? No, doesn't work. How do you get rid of the penalty for your sin? We can't do this by ourselves. We have to let God do all the work of saving and forgiving. All of this that we have talked about so far is a part of growing up, a part of growing up in Jesus. Jesus gave us an example of how to do this in the Bible without following the Word of God. We can't be saved. And when it comes time to leave this life through death, we will go to a place of torment forever if we are not saved and our sins are not taken care of. Part of growing up in the Lord is believing what God has promised to do with our sin if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't become Lord of our life automatically. We have to mature to the point of making him Lord. It doesn't just happen. What usually happens in the church during a service or a series of services is something is said, and suddenly the Holy Spirit of God helps us to comprehend what God is talking about. That can't happen if we're not under the sound of the gospel. Yes, we know who Jesus Christ is as our Savior. We do have the Holy Spirit living in our souls. His work in our soul is different from the work he is able to do while we are under the sound of the gospel. Have you ever heard of a Holy Spirit revival taking place? There have been little revivals here and there in churches at various times, but the last real Holy Spirit revival that took place was in 1905. When there was a massive revival that spread. Folks, that was over 100 years ago. 120 years ago. I want to be in a church when the Holy Spirit comes upon that church. I want to be there. I don't want to miss that. And that's why I'm in church when I'm in church. I'm expecting there's going to be a time when God is going to send his Holy Spirit to minister, to fall upon a people, give them a special anointing. He's in you right in this moment because you know Jesus Christ. But I want that anointing of the Holy Spirit that happened on that day of Pentecost, that has happened from time to time. And the last time it really happened as a major event was in 1905. I want to be there. I don't want to miss. You stay away from church because you think that it won't happen on that particular day. I'm afraid it'll happen. And so I'm in church. I hope you will be too. I don't want to chance it. When it happens, I want to be there. So many believers don't think that they will experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then they don't attend churches or services when they can. They think that God won't send the Spirit to them. And you know what? They're right. He won't. If you don't believe or expect the anointing, then you will not receive it. As a person matures in Christ, they will experience a closer walk with Christ and a more fruitful relationship with our Heavenly Father. I don't want to miss any chance of being in the right place when God moves in His Spirit. Part of maturing in Christ is seeking the presence of God every chance that we get. Growing up in the Lord, maturing in Christ, requires faithfulness. May God help us to be faithful. Father, we ask that you will pour out an anointing we know you have promised to in the last days. Father, we want to be part of that. Help us, Father, to be faithful. Help us to grow up in Christ. Help us become mature adults in Jesus Christ. Touch our lives. Move our lives to the place where we can be mature, faithful adults. Father, we will praise you, and we will praise the Lord Jesus Christ for all the things that you're going to do in each of our lives. We thank you, praise you, in Jesus' name. Amen.